Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This pandemic's over.
Here's my man Chris. He's listening. He says it was time. The results were not enough.
I knew it.
Specifically the team losing leads consistently. Tim was meant to be a defensive coach, and our defense has been awful late in matches. 901 has lost so many points recently late in games. I mean,
there you go.
So I'm gonna tell you the truth. If Chris Porter says it's time for a change, man, then I got to believe him. I got to go.
All right with you, Chris. Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, he works for them.
Well, I think
Porter,
he's just,
and y'all should hire him.
I think he's just a fan.
I understand that, but
he always has the view.
And I mean this when I say this. If somebody lives in this community, when these jokers get it turned right, your ass better be out there.
Oh, well, I'll be out there for sure.
8,000 strong with this winner. If they're winning, I want to see it.
Well, part of that whole experience isn't it being able to go to the bar beforehand and all that? Like, we got to get through COVID to get back
to
that point.
Yeah, it's the smoke bombs and the bar and the Irish stuff.
They ain't doing that at Redbird.
You mix in a little winning with that.
No, that's different. I agree with that.
You stand a pretty good chance of continuing to feel that thing.
Now, I can't name you.
There is a passionate soccer community in this town.
Are the Redbirds done? Honest question. Are the Redbirds done? I mean that sincerely, because we're talking about this passionately because it's pretty fresh, but man, their attendance has been down, you know. I'm just asking as an honest question.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what it takes to run a business in minor league baseball. I have no
idea.
Same
ownership group. You know, they own both.
I have no – it's a good question. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see what happens in minor league baseball and all that after COVID is over.
Tough year for that.
No doubt.
But now they're going a different direction down there in Mifflin. I want to say very passionate fan base. They want to win. And they decided this was not enough. And
should I try to book Mo Queen like as a response? Or,
no, I don't think I think we kind of just need to let him take some time.
Right.
You know, to let him take some time. But anyway, there you go. Some decision making in Memphis 901 FC. All right, we will come back. Bill Barnwell is going to join us. We will talk about the other football.
Don't ask about Derek Carr. Just try. Okay?
Right.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna dude.
We know John something for every day of the week. It's the That was your last year's Raiders 100.
I got on double-layered Raiders gear today.
How's your fantasy team doing?
We ain't talking about that.
This man has another new piece of equipment.
We ain't talking about that. We'll come back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
Memphis and the Mid-South's number one place for sports and the home of the Jeff Conkins Show. Weekday mornings, 9 a.m. till 11. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Live on the radio.com app.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory to dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
Blue Note Juke Joint is my go-to bourbon. It should be your go-to bourbon as well. Why? For a variety of reasons. A couple of those, it's aged and crafted right here in Memphis. You guys know how important it is to me to support locally, and this is a distillery that's here in Memphis. So they age that thing along the banks of the Mississippi River. And so every time you buy a bottle, you are supporting a Memphis business, and that is important in 2020. It's also smooth. It's smoother than smooth. I don't know about you guys, but when I sit down for a drink, I don't want to cringe. I don't want to have my nose hairs all lit up. I want that thing to be smooth, and it always is with Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. You can get it wherever your favorite liquors are sold. It's just $29.99. That's it. Whole bottle. Just $29.99. Drink it on the rocks. Drink it neat. You can make cocktails with it as always. And you know you can trust it because it comes from my friends at BR Distilling. So go pick up a bottle of Blue Note Juke Joint today. You'll be glad you did.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto Body Collision Repair 7 years running by the Commercial Appeal. Call 901-323-2296 in Memphis or 901-850-0022 in Collierville or visit online at Joe Stewart Body Shop.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year. And there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101. And the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, Smile Center Memphis.
Right now, make up for lost time with the new BMW R1250 GS from Performance Plus Cycles. With 136 horsepower and a camshaft control system, you're assured consistent power delivery. Whether in the city, motorway, or off-road, every mile makes you feel more free. Test ride today at Performance Plus, located off Pleasant View Road, or check out their BMW inventory online at performanceplusscycles.com. Remember, make life a ride with a BMW motorcycle.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Memphis group at Remax Experts. They're the best in the Mid-South. Looking to buy or sell? It's exactly who you should go with. And if you want to sell your home stress-free, you should absolutely do it with the Live Love Memphis team. That means no worrying about getting it ready to list, no going back and forth on the pricing. All you have to do is email your home address to investor@livelovememphis.com for a free analysis. That's no obligation, no hassle, just an offer. investor@livelovememphis.com.
And listen, this ain't just for the folks here in the fine city of Memphis or out in the suburbs, Germantown, Collierville. You guys, they're licensed as well, Live Love is, down in Mississippi. So again, with this market, you should be able to do what John's saying. Send that email or call. And again, it's a new number, so get your pencils and your pens. 901-410-8818. Again, 410-8818. All you got to do is ask for Jennifer Carstensen. That's what I did a couple of years ago, and that's what so many of you have done since then, since I worked with them. And thank gosh you're listening. Thank gosh you did, because it's been nothing but a bunch of success stories. Jennifer Carstensen's got a hard-working team, and they're going to make the process very simple for you. And if you'd like, besides selling your home probably for a lot more than you think you're going to get right now, they'll help you find your dream home as well. They did for me and have for so many others. So, again, call Jennifer, 410-8818. Again, 901-410-8818. It's the Live Love Memphis group at Remax Experts. They're at livelovememphis.com.
Kind of an interesting story that I don't know if you saw this on your on your Twitter feed. But Corey Evans, you know Corey Evans, Jason?
Yes, he breaks quite a bit of news.
He's the Rivals analyst, Rivals basketball recruiting analyst. He is being hired by the Oklahoma City Thunder in an amateur scouting role.
Man, they're taking all of them.
Yeah. So that's
– Where did Evan go?
He went to
CAA.
Evan's an agent. Yeah. But
Telep went to the Spurs.
Telep went to the Spurs, yep.
And it's still there, right?
Yeah.
From everything went,
yep.
And now Corey is going to OKC.
Alex Klein works for the Pelicans.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Or somebody like the Knicks now. I don't know exactly where he's from.
He DMs me from time to time.
About what, players?
Yeah.
I think he's with the Knicks now. But it is definitely a trend, right? It's definitely a trend.
How did you not cash in on this coming from your recruiting
back? Well, I'm not national, man. I'm not seeing every player. I mean, I can if there's a need for a Memphis.
You continue to sell yourself short.
Well, I mean, I'm not like traveling the country watching high school basketball.
You're not national recruiting analyst.
Right. Like I can't tell you about a kid in Washington or DC. Like I can't.
I constantly lift you.
Yeah.
While you run the bus over, folks. That's
right. That's exactly
that's
right. But I find this trend kind of interesting because, it shows that NBA teams are willing to pretty much go wherever they need to, to find talent, and that even means, I do wonder now what Rivals was paying Corey Evans because I know them scouts don't make that much damn money. I mean, if you're an amateur, like that's a grind now. That's a real grind.
You know who's next year, man? Josh Gershon. He's been doing it long enough.
He's damn near the only one left. I mean, to be honest with you, like Brian Snow and Gershon are like now 24/7 hired a bunch of like young dudes to replace Evan that I've never heard of. A bunch of young cats who I'm just not familiar with. It'll be interesting to see what Rivals does. Oh, Bossy, our man Bossy is still there.
Once you're plugged in for that long, just you can't emulate the relationships, right? If you're trying to hire somebody, and that's what helps you with in terms of your credibility, knowing how good these guys. Because it's not just getting it right on a player, right? It's being able to get it right first, and a lot of times that's going to be based on your evaluations from those guys, grassroots coaches, all that. So I imagine just having those relationships, such a huge in terms of attractive qualities for these guys. If you're an NBA team and you want in on these guys, these are the guys to go get.
Yep.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yep. Who would you like? Would you like to work in an NBA front office?
Oh, I'd fix the Bulls.
You get fired so quick, man.
See, what did I just say about lifting up? And then, folks, a dude that want to run a party bus over
everybody. You would have given a max deal to Malik.
And I guess that's how the yin and yang work of this, huh?
Yeah.
I got to get Malik. I got to get him out of rehab, and we're going to have a good season.
Yes.
Okay?
You're going to pay him.
He can still be a Lou Williams type.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a –
problem is Charlotte. It just drives – playing for Mike, it drives you crazy.
Yeah, it does. Scouting is a tough gig, man, because you're traveling, and we'll see how COVID impacts us, but you're traveling town to town, you're staying for one day, you're grinding, you're watching film nonstop, you're doing a lot of contact tracing. What's this kid like? You got to dig into really who he is. And if you're wrong, you might lose your job. If you pound your fist on the table.
Isn't Reggie Rankin working for Golden State now?
Oh, is he?
He used to do ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. He's now with Golden State to continue with this trend.
I guess.
I think so. He's hit me up a couple times, too.
Yeah, he is.
He wanted to know where Wiseman was doing.
Oh, he did?
Back in the day.
Oh, back in the day. Not anymore.
Well, the immediate was, hey, man, where's Wiseman going to go train? Remember after the initial, Wiseman leaves, we didn't know, where does he go? And he ended up, down in Miami or Florida or something? But
yeah.
I think, again, that's the types of questions you get from these guys. This isn't some, Jason knows his stuff. It's more like, hey, what's the next for this Memphis area guy that you're typically getting from the Kleins and Reggies and those guys. But to your point, Reggie was doing ESPN recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a different situation where he's been in coaching and everything else. But,
yeah,
he's now with Golden State.
So anyway, there you go. Corey Evans is the latest to be
good for him.
Plucked to the NBA.
CAA plucked a very good guest for us in Evan, right? We haven't had him on since, and there'll be you can't have him on now, can you?
Yeah, you have to go through, the whole gambit.
Oh, man, that's tough.
But he's, he's reached out to me quite a bit because he actually spends a lot of time in Memphis because he works for Jimmy Sexton. He reports directly to Jimmy Sexton.
Ah.
And so he is in Memphis quite a bit, and he is going to be doing deals, by the way. Like, we wondered about what his role would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, it's the introduction of clients, you know, to the CAA brand and Jimmy.
Right, and all those relationships.
But he's going to be negotiating these deals with athletic departments
good
as well.
Good for Evan, man.
You know, so.
No, he'll be dressed for the
He's not just a ringer who just says, okay. And that's also, like, being an agent's hard, too, man, because.
Is it?
Yes. You have to be, like.
It's just when the phone calls come, right?
You have to be super plugged in, man. Like, and it's a constant, like, once you get a guy, it's like a constant, first of all, you have to establish a relationship. Like, you can spend 5 years recruiting a kid, right? You could be sending him money, cause that's what you have to do. You're sending him money, outfitting him with all the clothes, getting him cars, and he could still, at the last minute, right before he's about to sign his first deal, decide to go with somebody else.
Oh, it's like a beautiful woman that leaves you and marries somebody else.
Like, that happens, you know? Like, there are agents out here who... Maybe not. They don't have the cachet of Rich Paul or you know, Clutch or you know CAA, who they know they have to get it on the ground, on the absolute ground floor, and that means giving mom $5,000. That means giving dad $2,000. That means paying a mortgage this month because that's, you know, you're trying to get this kid because you know the payday will be much greater down the road, right? And that means a lot of doing that for 4 or 5 years, and then when it comes draft day, that man says, "I'm not going with you. I'm going with this dude I just met." You know, a year ago, because I like him a little better.
I got a question for you. Off the record, and you talk to a lot of people. How many players do you think are getting paid? Honestly, of a percentage wise, if you were and I know we're talking just in general. I don't know the business. That's what you brought up. So I would say
of NBA percentage. Hopefuls, I would say the majority.
The majority of sure. are getting paid.
Yes, of course.
Damn.
I mean, I don't think that's a big. I mean, if you watch any sort of documentary, right? If you watch any kind of,
but you talk to these people, so that's why I asked.
I mean, it's just that's the way. It's the cost of doing business. Like, you can't just wait until a kid is eligible for the draft and then. I'm sorry. You'll get beat that way. That's the business. It's a cut.
You have
business.
To.
You gotta get on the ground floor.
Wow. Like
now, Evan's not doing players. He's doing.
No. I get that.
So it's a little.
Linking him in.
It's a little bit different. But yeah, I would absolutely say you have to do that. And that's why I think being an agent's hard too. You know, coaching much different because I think that's one that really depends on the relationships
so seedy.
That you make. But yeah, it's definitely its own underworld for sure. We were talking earlier about Memphis basketball. And this season that we'll find out when it starts. I'm looking forward to that day. We can actually start to kind of put those pieces together as to what the season will look like. The reports were that you would probably get between 4 and 8 non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up to 8, at least 4.
And that's how you can have it. You can have that Atlantis up in Sioux Falls,
right.
And still save some of that Tennessee, some of that Auburn, hopefully.
And that's really the good. You know, because you're trying to
put
together.
You're still talking about 24, 28 games in what would have been a 31-game season. That's still getting a lot of it in, John, if you can get all those.
Oh, I mean, it really
up
is.
To eight, up to 6 to 8 non-conference games. That's most of your schedule.
It really is because, you know, what you're really focused on is you're trying to put together a resume and a body of work. Each team's trying to put together a body so that when it comes time to seed for the NCAA tournament,
100%.
That you're not just, you know, you're not banking on blind hope. You actually have something to present to the committee. You actually have, hey, we beat this team on a neutral site. We beat that team, whatever. Whereas, you know, if you didn't have non-conference, how do you even begin to determine which conferences are superior? Then you're really just going on biases at that point.
Right.
The Big 12 is going to get a favorable standing because everybody just knows the Big 12 is a great conference, even though it might have been a down year out of the league for them. Who knows? I'm just using that as an example. But, you know, I think it's actually a good thing for the sport. Something, you know, one less thing for coaches to have to worry about is, are we going to get a proper seeding because we didn't play a full year? You're going to play as close to a full year as you could possibly can.
It could line up beautifully, frankly, for Memphis in the sense that in the year that you still get the bulk of what's really a good non-conference schedule, as John said, set you up to get a high seed like we talked about, that you've got an experienced unit to battle that schedule, right? I mean, that because you want the two together. So many times we've seen here where you overswing, you go difficult, and you've got a young, inexperienced team that isn't ready for those kind of tests and battles. It feels like for Penny, the way this is lined up, and keep in mind, it wasn't always lined up this way.
Yep.
Remember, Jalen Green was going to be a freshman. Like, those folks were close. You know, G League comes in. Memphis could have been looking at that rather than a Landers Nolly.
That's right.
Who's already done it in the ACC. And so the way it's worked out for Penny is almost, you know, you could see this sort of aligning and coming together beautifully in the sense that you'll have that experience to put
right, with a talented roster already, but one that was really inexperienced last season. You'll have that against a tougher schedule. You want the two together. What you don't want is a bunch of freshmen taking on a tough schedule. We've seen, again, where you swing, you think you're ready because of the talent, and you're not. Gary talks about it all the time. College basketball experience is really the most valuable thing. And it's particularly when it's sort of spread all the way up and down the lineup. And for Memphis, you've got that now to spread with that still young talent, still a lot of sophomores on this team. It'll be a beautiful thing. Again, if it comes together, you can save the bulk of this non-conference schedule to have this roster with this schedule. Because, again, there was no promise. Again, you were expecting Jalen Green, a freshman, to be leading the team in terms of having the ball in his hands, all that. Well, now I guess you're still expecting a young guy to have it in his hands a lot with Boogie. But we know now, a go-to guy that down the stretch, and Landers Nye has been through the wars, and you figure his experience will be super valuable for this team. Coming together at the right time against a very good schedule, hopefully.
Well, I think they certainly have a chance to be a top four seed. I believe that 100%.
Well, you're only talking about top 16, top 20 team in the country
right.
with that. So
you'll be top 25 to start the season. So you're already within
place. You don't need to. This team doesn't need to be crowned early.
What were they last year to start the season? Like 13 or something like that.
Yeah, you'd talked them up pretty high.
Yeah,
giving Doster and a bunch of others a hard time, and they'd gone with you.
Well, I mean, we will never know.
But we should have known. We should have known this, the inexperience. Again, even if you'd kept Wiseman,
it showed up in the turnovers.
It showed up in that how much that team turned the ball over last year.
I can admit, I just got a little bit carried away because it was the first time in a very, very long time that a Memphis basketball team was entering a season with any kind of expectations whatsoever.
Well, aren't you sort of doing it again this year, trying to put them above Houston already?
Because
most of the country's got Houston
They aged quicker than they would have had to otherwise. You know,
just let them be the team that comes, you know, that sneaks up on you, man, or the team that's got to earn a little bit beforehand.
You think a Penny Hardaway team could ever sneak up on you?
You crowning them every year before they even get out there and before they've gotten through the non-conference portion of the schedule.
I'm sorry. When I have to be honest with myself. I look at a team that has a leading scorer on an ACC team last year in Landers Nye.
I think he's going to be super valuable.
A dominant defensive.
Probably going to be the MVP of this team.
Very possible. You got a defensive, absolute monster in Musa Cisse. You got a shooter. You got plenty of shooters. You got DJ Jeffries, who I believe is going to come back and potentially, you know, he could also be another MVP candidate for this team with what he does. I mean, they just don't have many flaws as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they got to take care of the ball.
They're young, and they But they know how to win because they did it last year. They had a hallmark. They had an identity last year.
Defense.
Which is exactly, you know, to me, that's why I don't really worry about them in terms of defense. Whatever lineup Penny puts out there, they know how to win that way because they had to last year. They were top five in the country. Yeah, Precious is gone, but it wasn't just about Precious last year. That was a team.
Well, he was.
He was.
The way his versus, he could guard anything. That helps you a lot.
But, I mean,
you don't have that this year.
Played good team defense.
Now you got a monster shot blocker back there. That's what he's born to do.
Yes, they played good team defense. So,
they absolutely played good defense.
I am all about trying to be as explosive offensively as I can with my starting lineup because I know these guys know how to guard. That's how they had to win last year. They will pick up where they left off in my mind defensively. I want to see, let's unlock as much potential as we can on the offensive side of the ball. And that may mean, again, DJ playing the four, Landers playing the I put quotation marks around the four, you know, but let's get creative. You know, let's sort of push the envelope offensively because that, to me, is where you have the most room to grow. You're not getting better than top five defensively, right, in defensive efficiency. There's nowhere to go but down probably, you know. So that's going to happen. There's probably going to be just some natural regression based on how high you were last year anyway.
Let's just say for some reason you don't get 8 non-conference games, you only get 6. Just say. And you want to keep what you got in Atlantis and you get posed with if you had to pick out a Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss, you can only pick one out of those three. The case is hopefully you'll be able to at least keep two of those three,
right.
Hopefully all of those three, and Georgia gets tossed. But if you had to pick one out of those three games, right, and you want it to help you with seeding and everything else, and you know what you got, you know what they got, which one of those games, Auburn, Tennessee, Auburn?
It's got to be Tennessee. It's got to be Tennessee for a variety of reasons, but one because it's the rubber match in the series.
It finishes it off.
But also because they got Jaden Springer coming in. Right, they have another guy coming in. They've got Pons coming back.
Right.
They're going to be good.
Yes,
They're going to be a good team, and they're going to be a team where if you beat them on a neutral floor, which is what it would be, that's a win that would pay dividends for you. And if you lose it, it's not going to kill you either. So I would absolutely – Auburn kind of falls
Auburn
in this,
fall, I was going to say similar because of where they've
been. But Memphis doesn't have the history with Tennessee. It's not the rubber match. They'll play Auburn again, right? So I think the answer – Ole Miss – that series could end tomorrow, and I won't shed one gangster tear for it. I know that it would devastate you, but I would not shed one gangster tear over that Ole Miss game. Tennessee has to be the answer.
It is the answer because, and this is just me hoping on hope, but one more year, hopefully, maybe you can convince Barnes how good of a thing this is. He thought it would do it last year
right.
when he's got a full place up
Absolutely.
There. You see how much it means to your own.
ESPN.
Forget Memphis, how much it means to your own fan base to
be
in this.
Oh, they got fired
and especially,
up for it.
That's what I'm saying, especially with a team that can compete with Memphis,
yep.
which is the case. And it helps both sides. I just hope one more year convinces of it. For that point, yes, it's for all the reasons you laid out. But one more year, hopefully, to convince Barnes, man, this is something you need to keep going.
Well,
because Lord
start,
knows Memphis believes that.
It'll all start falling into place tomorrow when we get that vote with the Division One Council. All right, we will come back. Bill Barnwell is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NFL, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the Bears. Maybe a little bit of even Derek Carr.
Right.
That's up next. Jason and John on Eternal FM. Yes, please.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
How was it trying to get a defense ready to play when you probably didn't know who was going to play on Friday?
It was very interesting. I thought the young men and our coaching staff adapted really well, but it's different than it's ever been. You hear that every – I guess that should be the theme words for 2020, right?
The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, weekdays 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Get us on Instagram. Instagram.com/92.9ESPN.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jeff Toll with RexMD.com. If you've ever considered trying ED medication, right now you can, and there's no need to visit your doctor's office. You can go online at RexMD.com and get real prescription ED medication delivered direct to you without leaving your home. The process is simple. Here's how it works. Just fill out a brief survey at RexMD.com. Then we'll provide your own private online doctor to find an effective solution just for you to improve your drive and performance. If appropriate, you can get generic options of Viagra or Cialis starting at just $3 per tablet. Your consultation is free, there's no copays, no doctor office visits, and there's no need to visit the pharmacy, as your prescription will be delivered direct to you, and your shipping is always free. At RexMD.com, we've made the process fast, easy, and affordable. Don't wait another minute. Imagine how surprised your partner will be. Visit RexMD.com right now. That's RexMD.com.
Right now, it's more important than ever to be there for each other. There are simple steps we can all take to care for our mental health and prevent suicide. From learning the warning signs and knowing what to do if you're worried about someone, to having a real conversation with a friend, to bringing education programs to your community. We all have a role to play in saving lives. Together, we hashtag keep going. Learn more from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention at afsp.org/keep going.
If you plan to vote by mail, the U.S. Postal Service is here to deliver your vote safely and on time. We recommend you follow these steps to get ready. First, check your state's voting rules and deadlines. Second, request your mail-in or absentee ballot at least 15 days before Election Day. Finally, return your ballot at least 7 days before Election Day. Start today. Contact your election board and find resources at usps.com/voting info.
Whether class is in school, at home, or a little bit of both, school goes on.
And Staples has everything you need to start the year right.
From lap desks to notebooks, noise-canceling headphones to UV sanitizers.
And all at amazing prices. This week, pocket folders, comp books, and 4-ounce Elmer's glue are just 25 cents each.
Shop in-store or pick up curbside. School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 9/19. In-store only. Limit 6. While supplies last. Curbside available in most stores.
Mr. Clean.
Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean. For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Get down!
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Paid the cost to be the boss.
Bill Barnwell writes about the NFL for ESPN. You should absolutely be following his work. Follow him on Twitter, at Bill Barnwell. He joins us now. Hey, Bill, how's it going, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
Yeah, of course. Excited to talk about the NFL after a fun week one.
It's good to have the NFL back. It's like an old friend, you know? It's like an old friend who stays for 16 glorious weeks. It's usually good. Let's sort of start with the doubleheader last night. We did stay up to watch it. Obviously, we'll get to Stephen Gostkowski and that whole situation. But was there any good reason at all for Vic Fangio not to use his timeouts there at the end of that Titans drive?
Well, unfortunately, he prefaced the word reason with the word good, because I have a reason, but I don't think it's very good. I really think Vic Fangio was sort of sitting there saying, I'm going to let this game run down to a Stephen Gostkowski field goal. I think we can come up with a stop, and we have a better shot of winning this game by Stephen Gostkowski missing a fourth field goal, or I guess a fifth field goal when you include the extra point, then we do of, you know, sort of using our timeouts, forcing a field goal, and then coming back and, you know, trying to score on offense. So I don't think that's a good reason, but I really do think that's what he was thinking. And obviously, as it turned out, Stephen Gostkowski did make the field goal. So I would have used my timeouts, but I'm not Vic Fangio.
Did we learn last night that if you're ranking teams in the AFC in terms of contenders, that the Steelers are probably third in the AFC, obviously putting KC and Baltimore there? Had been some talk of whether the Titans could be that, and I just thought the Steelers, especially after Ben settled down, that defense looked like that team. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, to me, they were number two heading into the year. I have them slightly ahead of the Ravens, and let's don't disrespect to the Ravens, who were a great football team and looked awesome in week one, but I think, you know, this is a team where they just project to be so good on both sides of the football if Ben is healthy. And, you know, he had some growing pains yesterday, or he had some, certainly some rust, it seemed like, early in the game, but as the game got going, he looked a lot better, and the offense looked a lot smoother. There's a lot to like there on offense, even though they did lose James Conner to an injury, unfortunately. But, I think the Steelers are right there with the Ravens. So, to me, I think it's a big three. And then Tennessee is probably in that sort of second tier of teams right behind KC, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh.
How high do you think the chances are that Tannehill and then Derrick Henry can duplicate? I doubt they could be much better than they were last year, but duplicate what they did last season.
It's tough. And I think we saw a good example of that last night in the red zone. I mean, this was a team that was dominant in the red zone over the second half of 2019 and into the postseason. They were great in the red zone in the postseason. They didn't even have to kick a field goal, if I'm not mistaken, until the AFC Championship game. And I think when you look towards history, you look towards how teams do in the red zone, it's very random from year to year. There's not a lot of consistency. KC, of course, was dominant in the red zone in 2018, not that good, kind of mediocre in 2019, and then got hot in the postseason in the red zone. And you would figure, okay, if anyone's going to be good in the red zone year after year after year, it's the team that has this, you know, bruising workhorse power back in Derrick Henry, but it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, I think that they're going to be effective, but I just don't think they're going to be quite as good in the red zone as they were a year ago. And I think week one is probably a good example of you know, some of the struggles they might have because of that.
Yeah.
You know, we got Big Ben back, it seems like. a lot of summer hype about sort of the fact that he's healthy again. And, you know, you couple that with what they're already bringing back defensively, and you feel like maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers can make some noise, certainly at least in the AFC. What did you think of last night? Ben goes 21 of 32, 229. Three touchdowns. Juju looked like the guy we hoped and thought he would be last year as a number one. What did you make of the Steelers' debut?
Yeah, I mean, I think Juju's the biggest one because, you know, I kind of figured Ben would be Ben. And obviously, I think he's not the guy he was 5 or 10 years ago, and that's what's realistic. He's in his late 30s, had a lot of injuries. He's going to be good. I don't think he maybe has that sort of, you know, top five QB upside maybe he had in the past, but I think Juju's the guy who, you know, 2 years ago, Juju was a superstar. Juju looked like he was, you know, the next Odell Beckham, and I guess maybe the good version of Odell Beckham as opposed to the Odell Beckham now. And last year, of course, injuries, didn't have Ben, major step backwards, kind of got lost in the shuffle, and nobody was really talking about Juju before the year. You know, it really was pretty quiet about, you know, all these great young receivers and Juju, who, you know, had almost 1,500 yards in his second season, kind of flying underneath the radar. So, I mean, the Giants are not a good defense. I think we're going to see that as the season goes on. But I think it was really, really promising for a guy who is in a contract year, a guy who is coming off of a, you know, a sort of a lost season, to have that start. Because I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a superstar wideout when he is healthy. And I think we got to see that again for the first time in a while last night.
We are, of course, talking to the great Bill Barnwell, covers the NFL for ESPN. He has his Week 1 NFL Quarterback Awards up at ESPN.com. And one of those awards, Bill, is the Ominous Victory Award for questionable performance in a win, who you handed that one to Drew Brees. And in this particular award section, you have some very ominous and disturbing numbers about him. And I think we all kind of noticed that, right? Like, you look up at a Saints, pretty much a blowout win, and he only has 160 yards in the air. You know, you kind of wonder what happened. But you point out that the game script for him was noticeably more conservative than usual. What do you think that means for Drew Brees and the Saints moving forward?
Yeah, I think we have to see. I mean, Sean Payton also said his performance was awful. Drew Brees said he was awful. I mean, a lot of teams, a lot of quarterbacks would take awful if it meant scoring 28 points or 35 points and beating Tom Brady. But, yeah, I just, you know, from the first moment of that game, so much of what they were doing were screens. They were swing passes. They really wanted to, you know, get the ball out quickly and get the ball out on short passes. And Drew Brees is someone who, you know, he's not Ryan Tannehill. He's not Jameis Winston. He's not throwing the ball 10 yards downfield. His average pass is going to be pretty short typically. But he succeeds because he's super, super, super accurate. I mean, Drew Brees, over the last 3 years, has had the three highest completion percentages in the history of the National Football League. So, you know, he's an accurate quarterback. And maybe it was losing Michael Thomas. Maybe it was the Bucs playing good defense. Maybe a bit of rust. Who knows what it was for week one. But Drew Brees completed 60% of his passes while throwing some of the shortest passes in all of the league. And to me, for a guy who's, you know, calling card, his hallmark is his accuracy, he did not have an accurate game. And that could be 1 week, and hopefully it is. And hopefully, you know, week two, week three, week four, we see Drew Brees, you know, back to his old self. And this was kind of a hiccup, but it's something to watch for, because with quarterbacks who are in their 40s and their late 30s, the end just comes. There's no warning. There's no, you know, they don't typically gradually slip. It kind of comes out of nowhere, and they go from being great to being sort of unplayable. I mean, the Saints have alternatives in Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, and it's too early to say that Drew Brees is someone they have to bench or anything, but if he plays this way for a month, I would start being concerned.
Speaking of quarterbacks at or approaching that stage, whose two interceptions, I'll put it this way, were more concerning for you, given the expectations in both places? Was it Tom Brady's or Phillip Rivers?
Ooh, I'd go Phillip Rivers. So I think with Tom Brady, you know, you could kind of see what the picks were doing. They were, the first pick was a sight adjustment that he didn't make, which we figure he'll make more as he gets more comfortable in that scheme. Second pick was kind of, you know, trusting his arm too much on a mm-hmm. deep out that he shouldn't have thrown. And I think he's going to not make that mistake again. With Phillip Rivers, I mean, these were the same interceptions he would throw in a typical situation. It was Phillip being Phillip. And I think the hope was, okay, get Phillip Rivers behind a better offensive line, which is what he has in Indy. You know, put him in situations where he doesn't have to throw his team back into the game to win, and he's going to be fine. But, man, you know, we got to the last 5 minutes of that football game, and there we were. Phillip Rivers was trailing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, projected to be the worst team in football. He was throwing and trying to get his team back in the game, and he threw a contested pass for an interception. And I think, you know, if the better version of Phillip Rivers didn't show up week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars, mm-hmm. who played their hearts out, but the team was supposed to be the worst team in football this year,
right,
you know, what's it going to be when he has to play better teams and throw his team back into the game?
On the Buccaneers, I don't know. Like, I'll be honest, I bought into the hype. I thought, you know, because of all the weapons that they have down there, they have a better than you think defense for, I think, most of the country than most of the country realizes. And I thought Brady would come in and they would just be awesome. And they weren't. I mean, decisively, they were not awesome. Do you think this is something that, you know, come week eight looks totally different? Or are you concerned about, hey, Brady's 43, like maybe it's just not going to happen like we thought it might?
always possible that Brady's 43 and it just might not be, you know, a good fit, but I think it's going to work out. I really do. I think that Brady was pretty good outside of the two interceptions. I thought he played better than Breeze personally, which, you know, seems strange given what happened in the game, but just the zip on his passes, the plays he was making. I thought Gronk, if anything, was the guy who looked kind of past it. You know, Gronk was sort of anonymous for a huge chunk of that football game. I think he had three targets, one of which was nearly picked, and two of them were, I think, screen passes. So he's the guy I'm more concerned about. I think the big question for the Bucs is sort of what happens if they get off to a slow start, because Tom Brady had success in New England for 75 or 80 years at this point, from my recollection, running one offense. And Bruce Arians has him running a different offense. And Bruce Arians is a very good coach and a guy who has molded a lot of quarterbacks. But if they start 2-2 or 2-3, I have to believe. I don't know what you guys think. I have to believe that Tom Brady is going to go in there Monday morning and say, hey, here's our playbook from New England. Yep. We're running quick game. We're running the same 7-yard concepts. Teach it to our receivers. That's what we're running, because I don't want to get killed, you know, running 7-step drops or 5-step drops and holding onto the football and waiting for guys to come open downfield. And that works in New England. And, you know, I'm Tom Brady and you're not. So let's go ahead and run this, because this is going to work. And we sort of saw that happen with Peyton Manning in Denver early in his time in Denver, where they really struggled on offense in the first half of games, and Adam Gase basically, you know, ended up installing what Peyton was running in Indianapolis, and it worked pretty well after that for a couple of years. So wouldn't shock me if we saw something similar in Tampa Bay if the Bucs do struggle here in September.
Bill, you're brilliant on this stuff. So what's going through the mind of Trubisky through those first three quarters when he's looking, and just like you wrote, Bears fans, me, we're booing. He looks terrible. And then for the last quarter, he comes back, throws the three touchdowns. And we've seen some good Mitch. A couple of years ago, he had the number three QBR. Now, I'd start to write that off as if it was a fluke. But you saw the good Mitch in the fourth quarter. What's the difference? Can you tell, Bill? Is it the way Nagy handles him? Is it back against the wall stuff? What's the difference between the two?
You know, I think it's a couple things. I really think, and this is going to sound mean, and I don't mean it to be mean, I think the more you put on Mitch Trubisky's plate, the worse he gets.
100%.
I think when he is in situations where, you know, he's just seeing and throwing, he's better. You know, and there's guys like that in the past. I think Mark Sanchez is a good example. Where Mark Sanchez was not a good quarterback, but if you got to the fourth quarter and you were down a few points, you needed a drive, he could move the ball because it was really simple. It was, hey, you know, look at this one side of the field. If you don't have it, check it down to LaDainian and Tomlinson. Let's move on. And that really worked because it was not, you know, trying to process a whole defense. It was not trying to process, you know, a complicated route concept. It was just really simple. Nick Foles is sort of another version of that, where, again, he's at his best when it's, let's run an RPO. Let's run, you know, a single read, or you're going to run it, or you're going to check it down. You know, there are some guys who just, that's what they really thrive on. And with Mitch in the fourth quarter, they were down two touchdowns. Lions weren't playing very intense defense. They were down their top three cornerbacks.
Yep.
So, I mean, Mitch was able to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to just, you know, throw the ball up against these guys who are not very good. My receivers are probably better. And they were. So, you know, I think Mitch is also someone who, you know, if it's based on the past, is really kind of, you know, thrives on being confident. You know, he does get hot for stretches. And when he gets hot, he looks good. I mean, there's no denying that Mitch Trubisky, you know, when he's playing well, is a good-looking quarterback. I mean, he looks great for stretches. But we know when he gets down on himself, when he struggles, he looks awful. And that's what happened in the first three quarters of this game, maybe without having a choice. You know, he kind of had to throw to get back in the game and succeeded. So we might see, you know, sort of a better Mitch Trubisky over the next couple of weeks. Their schedule's not particularly tough. So we might see, you know, a good September for Mitch Trubisky, and then it's going to be able to hold on to that maybe in the months to come.
We are, of course, talking to Bill Barnwell from ESPN. Bill, you mentioned it in your piece. Derek Carr had an absolutely gorgeous pass to Nelson Agholor there, and that went over the Carolina Panthers. You know, Gruden has hemmed and hawed about Carr as his quarterback. They bring in Marcus Mariota, hoping that maybe he would light a fire. He ends up not being even a factor so far. Do you think Derek Carr really can sort of stabilize his career there, and he can satisfy Gruden enough to be the guy for, you know, the long term? Or how do you see this sort of shaking out?
You know, it's funny. I think we all sort of thought, you know, sit here every year and say, okay, by week 15, John Gruden's going to be sick of Derek Carr, and he's going to be, you know, signing somebody or promoting somebody to get the job. And it doesn't happen. I mean, last year, Derek Carr was a top 10 quarterback by passer rating and by QBR. Now, if I asked you, or if you asked anyone, who are the top 10 quarterbacks in football? Is anyone going to name Derek Carr? I don't think so.
No, they're not.
But they're not, and I don't know that he is, but, you know, I think he's better maybe than our perception is of Derek Carr. Now, I don't know where he's going to land in terms of the top 15, top 20. I don't know if John Gruden thinks of him in that way, but I do think that, you know, he stays healthy, he's productive, he has, you know, a very pretty ball. I mean, that pass to Aguilar that I mentioned was a gorgeous throw. He gets the ball out quick, he is smart. You know, there's certainly worse options than Derek Carr, and I think with Gruden, you know, he's a guy in Tampa Bay who really loved to sort of, you know, go through the bargain bin. He had a bunch of mid-round picks. He had Chris Sims and Bruce Gretkowski. He had Jeff Garcia. He had, you know, he inherited Brad Johnson. A lot of guys who, you know, were not the man. It was always kind of, you're the man for now, and then we'll see what we can do. So with Carr, I kind of figure he's going to do the same thing, but unless he gets a top 10 pick or unless he gets, you know, the chance to sign someone like Cam or somebody in free agency, you know, I think he's going to stick with Carr. I mean, Mariota, he sort of framed it. Gruden has a sort of an ownership decision, and, you know, ownership may end up saying, hey, go to Mariota if Carr struggles. But based on the way he played in week one, mm-hmm. Carr looks pretty good.
Is running Cam 15 times, everybody's asking the question, is it sustainable? I don't suspect they'll run him that many times, Bill, but how mm-hmm. much mileage do they stand to get out of running him 15 times for 75 yards in that first game? Feels like maybe a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. They had 21 points. They should have scored more. And Kilharry fumbled the ball through the end zone for a touchback, which yep. is everyone hates that rule, but that's what happened, unfortunately. I mean, you know, the Patriots are not locked into Cam Newton for the long term. They're not sitting here saying, okay, we got to keep this guy healthy for 5 years in the same way that the Panthers did. They have him on a one-year deal, and they might run him 15 times a game and say, hey, you know, we're going to get the most out of Cam, and then we're either going to re-sign him or move on, but that's what our offense is going to be. And I think that, you know, if they have the opportunity to do it, they're going to do it. I don't think there's going to be any qualms about it, you know, week after week. And Cam looked great. You know, he really looked like a very, very effective quarterback against the Dolphins. I thought he was, you know, very impressive as a passer, and I think very good as a runner. You know, maybe not the same sort of, you know, burst he maybe had a few years ago, but he's more of a power guy than a burst guy, to be honest. So I thought he was great, and I thought that, you know, we'll see what happens with Seattle in week two. That's a really fun matchup, but I thought he looked like the old Cam, at least for 1 week against Miami.
Bill, man, this is absolutely great stuff. Always a pleasure. Appreciate
your
the
stuff,
time.
Bill. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. No worries. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
He is Bill Barnwell, covers the NFL, does it very well for ESPN. It was a great week one. To me, the NFL is better when you have quarterback sort of storylines, right? Like, that's just, to me, when it's at. And you are flush with them across the NFL. You know, how Brady's going to fare in Tampa Bay, obviously. Cam Newton there in New England. You mentioned it, Trubisky there in Chicago. Like, yes. I mean, he is a part. I mean, I know you don't want to admit it, but he is definitely your starter through week eight.
Well,
you know, and that's an interesting sort of dilemma for you.
And we didn't even talk about you're a funny man. We didn't even talk about a top 10 QB, at least look like after week one, Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah,
up in Arizona.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Look, they up in San Francisco, they may be a real factor in the West because it looks like he's so settled
yep.
in. Now he's got DeAndre Hopkins. He threw the best deep ball in the league last year, one of them. Looks like he's going to be a top guy already in his second year. Didn't even mention him today. He was fantastic.
DeAndre Hopkins goes to Arizona, plays no preseason, no nothing.
16 targets.
And he's the same dude.
Catches 14 balls off of it.
That's hard to do. I mean, when you look at all the other positions who have switched teams, you know, it usually takes a minute. The man stepped right in and did exactly what he did in Houston. And that's impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
And he's got a guy that's going to give it to him and not hold on to the ball as much as Deshaun
did in
some instances. May end up better off where he is.
Yep. So, anyway, thanks to Bill Barnwell for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bugs bugging you? Call Allied Termite and Pest for a free inspection today. 754-0454. Stop a pest problem in its tracks and ask about the Allied Guarantee. Prompt, reliable. Allied Termite and Pest. Call them today. 754-0454.
Sports in the United States have finally mostly returned. Football is back. Major League Baseball is headed toward the playoffs. The MLS season continues. So, we got a lot of stuff stuff to sit at home and watch. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're watching. And if you're like me, New Amsterdam Vodka should be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, understand New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4Trax Foreman, built to never quit. It offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory to dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory-to-dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
The common mistake that's made when it comes to getting rid of rodents in the house is that you think you're dealing with just one. What you don't realize, though, is that these critters have turned your home into their home, and now it's their breeding ground. So what should you do? This is Gary Parrish, and I'm telling you, what you should do is hand it over to the professionals at Alpha Wildlife. Their trained and licensed team not only removes all the pests from your home, but they also take care of the issues that are allowing the pests to enter your home in the first place. To the untrained eye, these entry holes are nearly invisible, but Alpha Wildlife can find them and fix them. Alpha Wildlife, it's a veteran-owned and operated business. They offer free inspection and will quote you only on what is necessary, whether it's rats, snakes, possums, raccoons, or squirrels, the damage happens quickly. So call Alpha Wildlife and get those unwelcome pests out of your house now. The number is 901-305-4577. That's 901-305-4577. Or visit them on the web at alphawildlifememphis.com. That's alphawildlifememphis.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
You know, as we put a wrap on things today, fantastic show felt like, by the way, John. This was not mentioned yesterday. We missed it. We had so much to get to with the NFL. Had to get your take on this. All of Memphis is waiting for your take on this, buddy. Jarrell Colbert, 4-star center, committed to LSU. I know you know the name. Will be playing for who at Houston this year? The great Mike Miller. Looks like
what?
The former Tiger basketball assistant, John Martin, is building a monster, a phrase we knew well out at Houston. I've seen this story before.
Patty pumping the Kango kid.
Yeah.
This was Penny at East, a couple, everybody in the world coming to play for him. Remember, we said, there's a center coming from Nashville, 7-footer. See, he's going to be in Summer League, James Wiseman. And now it feels like it's all happening for Mike out at Houston, sort of similarly the same thing. He's going to win a state title, isn't he, John?
I definitely think, you look at that team next year that he's got coming back. I mean, it's pretty freaking ridiculous, right?
So you got Madlock and the Millers, right?
You got Madlock, Mason. You got the Millers, Mason and Maverick, Xander Yates, who's a senior. You've got this kid, Colbert, who is going to be unguardable.
6'9", 190.
Yeah, he's
number 7 in the country center.
He's an absolute load. So, okay. You know, I don't want to get any names yet, but they're absolutely still trying to get some other players in here. I mean, and you know, that's sort of what, you know, Mike does, right? I mean, he's a competitive dude. He recruited well at the University of Memphis, and now obviously that he's trying to start this program up. He's got a hell of a staff, too, man. He's recruited a hell of a staff over there at Houston High School. He's got Bob Thornton, I believe, who's on there.
and you know, plenty of others. So
is Cherry over there?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure about that, but I think he is. I'm not exactly.
Now, are you director of ops, or you? What are you running?
No, see, I.
What's your staff position?
With all due respect, they can't pay me over there.
Of course.
Yeah, they can't pay me over there. So
it's got to be volunteer.
Absolutely,
you have to be a volunteer coach.
I ain't trying to get in nobody's pockets, but I think Mike is volunteering.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can't imagine. Yeah, he's doing
it. Yeah, it's a public school.
And what do they get? They get like a stipend or something. Would you even take it if you're Mike? Like,
I mean, exactly.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of other stuff that he's doing as well. But
it's a public service, basically.
Yeah.
Come there and get a ring.
I don't think he's going to be there for a long time, but I think he's going to be there for a good time.
Will the teams be better than the East teams? That's the question.
I don't think so, just because there won't be a James Wiseman. Know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, and that's a number three pick, top three pick in the draft.
I don't. I mean,
no, that's fair.
I mean, I just you know,
this kid. I mean, he's highly ranked, but he's like 190. He's not like the physical
exactly. And
beast,
you know,
that Wiseman was.
I mean, let's not take for granted just how damn ridiculously loaded those East teams were.
Oh, they were loaded.
I mean, you had Chandler Lawson, you had A-Lo, you had Malcolm Dandridge, Wiseman. I mean,
Ryan Boyce had one. You know,
Ryan Boyce
for a time.
I mean,
I think
Mike's teams are going to be really good, but. I don't think they're going to be top to bottom that loaded. I think they're going to have good players for sure. I think they're going to absolutely win state championships.
If you fantasy basketball here, matchup of A-Lo versus TJ Madlock,
mm-hmm.
two dogs going at each other,
yeah,
a battle of wills.
Yes.
Will they play like a national schedule, like Bishop Gorman and those kind?
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's all national stuff.
Of course. I mean, I was around somebody the other day where you know they were taking calls from these classics. That are trying to get them
in
the event.
Them, yeah.
You know, and basically this person had to say, you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, maybe there's going to be a COVID cancellation or something, but we can't commit because we're in this and we're in that. I think they're in the, you know, the Kevin Durant deal, right? The Kevin Durant Hoop Fest, which is here in Memphis now. It's what used to be the Penny Hardaway Hoop Fest, but it can't be because he's a Memphis coach. But they're in that. They're in some other stuff. So they're going to play a big-time schedule. I mean, that's another part of – I mean, for Houston, it's just absurd. I mean, it's just amazing. You lucked into the fact that Mike's sons go to Houston High School. Like, that's why he's there. I mean, he doesn't want to be a high school coach. Like, this is just something that he's honestly
– this family time, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, like, he works hard – but he ain't got no job. You know what I'm saying? So he just has some time on his hands. And
it's going to be in a gym, which is where he'd probably be anyway.
And so it's a unique opportunity for him to coach his kids in a way that he's never done it before. You know, I believe Mav's going to be a sophomore. Mason's going to be a senior. So you're there for 2-3 years, right? You know, you coach your kids, you send them on, you win a couple state championships. Those are the kind of memories that you hold on to forever.
By the time it's all done, said and done, how good a prospect Mason going to be? Because he looked fantastic in that summer event.
Yeah, you saw him. I mean, I think with Mason, it's all just sort of
he's come on.
How much bigger can he get, right? Like, how much can he add to his frame?
Like a big guard to me.
Yeah, he's a point forward. That's kind of how I see him playing. I mean, I think it's all about the fit with him. Like, I would much rather see him – this is just sort of my read of the situation. I would much rather see him at a place like Creighton than Ohio State or Indiana because the Big Ten is so much more physical than, you know, than Creighton and then their opponents would be, right? And they're in the Big East. So you can play a different style of basketball.
Sure,
you can,
I get that.
You can step out, not necessarily be expected to be this bruising big rebounder that in the Big Ten, like, you know, you might get pushed around a little bit. It might take a couple years for you to really see some major playing
time. Fair.
So I would like to see him at a place where his skill set would be. And Creighton is a solid-ass program now. I mean, they're a top 25 program.
No,
it's not like you go there and I mean, and plus you could be the big man on campus at that place. I mean, it, not that you can't be at Ohio State or Indiana, but you just have so much more talent to sort of fend with.
I sense the fear is gone, or any fear that was there in terms of banging with the big guys and just the indecisive. It looked gone to me.
Oh,
So I'm, that's
from
not,
his game.
I'm with you. Creighton might be a good spot, but it doesn't look like me. He's scared anymore.
Oh, no.
And that he's going to end up fine wherever he ends
his
up at, even if it is Big Ten basketball.
He's at another level. I mean, you saw it during that game.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
it was gone.
He's
like,
going
he was
coast
going
to
hard.
Coast. He's
right,
rebounding. He's active.
Decisions.
Yeah, no. I mean, and honestly, the thing about Mason, too, is like, dude is always in the gym, man. Like, he is always
good
in the gym.
Him.
Like, that's, you know, when I was a senior in high school, I tell you one place I did not want to be.
What in the world? Why you got this story?
I'm just saying, like, when I.
when you were a senior like you played.
No, I mean, this
better make some sense.
Well, I didn't want to work. I didn't want to work anywhere. I just wanted to, like, you know, smoke some weed and just, you know, not do what I was supposed to
do. This is finely tuned college prospect, and then there's you, mop head, talking about you want to smoke some weed senior year. You're comparing them together.
You make a good point. But that's something, you know, like the work ethic is there with Mason. The skill set is there. And so
it seems legit. Right?
No, I mean, he's got a loaded roster on his hands. So it's just a matter of playing a season. You know, are they going to play a full season and how many games they get? I'm sure, Houston's letting everybody come in, right? Are they having fans still out there? Yeah, Houston's like,
Burbs, man.
What pandemic?
Load it up. No, you got to separate, but here's the protocol sheet, but come on.
Yeah.
Some NFL teams ain't got fans. Come on.
Man, you're exactly right. So I appreciate you asking me. I know. You'll be out there front and center, right?
Well, I just expect you to be doing the play-by-play
work.
I've been approached.
On the game.
92.9 is actually trying to negotiate.
There you go. We're gonna be
simulcast.
The flagship home.
We're just gonna simulcast
it. The flagship home.
And they never had that.
What's their the Mustangs? The Houston.
I'm just surprised nobody has approached with sponsors on that type of a deal yet.
Well, they'll have them. Trust me, they'll have them. That's gonna do it for us today. Thanks to all of our guests who joined us on the show today. Thanks to Ryan McDonough and thanks to Bill Barnwell for hopping on the show today. Giordano and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Memphis and the Mid-South's number one place for sports and the home of the Jason and John Show. Weekday, middays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Portland. WMFS Memphis, live on the radio.com app.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.